Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Dustin Box. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
How you guys doing? I'm honestly, I'm still a little messed up from worship. So if I feel scattered, it's probably because I actually am still scattered. I was going to be teaching about worship this morning. So, hey. We pretty much just experienced what we're going to be talking about. So, I mean, it's actually kind of fun. The worship team, like, we don't, like, coordinate with, like, the worship leaders necessarily. Like, hey, we're preaching on this, so can you put a worship set that goes this way? So it's fun when, like God's stirring something in your heart, like, who's speaking, and then he just, like, rips it. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the service. It's just so exciting. Man, can we just do this together for just a moment? Just put your hand on your heart and say, God, make me uncomfortable. Oh, man. Now put your hand on your head for just a second. Well, come on, do this with me. Say, God, offend my mind to reveal my heart. Man, it's a dangerous prayer. Oh, man. Come on, God, make us uncomfortable. Make us uncomfortable. Man, God is not interested in our comfort zones at all. He's not interested in you being comfortable. He's not interested in you having a warm, fuzzy blanket and just feeling just cozy. And if he wanted you to just stay in your comfort zone, he wouldn't have needed to send a comforter. The fact that he sent a comforter means that you will need some comfort. Which means you'll be uncomfortable because you need some comfort. Tracking with me. So what we're doing today is we're talking about worship. But I want you to understand it's from the context of actually God is this morning and in this season inviting you into a place where your comfort zones are challenged so that you can encounter more and more of his glory and his presence. Do you understand? That there is this thing of our comfort zone that oftentimes we hyper-spiritualize. We give really fancy language, like that person is just seeking glory for themselves, or the music is too loud, or that's the wrong kind of this, or I'm not really feeling it this morning, my heart is in a different place. I'm not really connecting with the songs that are being sang this morning. We use all sorts of phrases, and really it's just your attempt to stay comfortable. To do what you want to do and to not actually respond in obedience to the God, the creator of everything that is inviting you into worship and participate in this exchange with him. And so this morning I want to lay a bit of a foundation for some of what we experienced this morning, actually. It's pretty awesome. How many of you guys, there was like a couple moments where you're like, this feels crazy, but I don't know what to do right now. Yeah? Like, there's like moments where you're kind of like, ooh, there's somebody laying down, like, am I supposed to lay down? I'm not feeling the laying down thing this morning. Like, you know what I'm saying, right? I want to give you guys a bit of a foundation actually for that, but it's because, like, as people are gathering with so many new families, which is just so exciting to see, but we come from a really wide background. Do you know what I'm saying? And I want to lay a bit of a foundation for some of what you've probably already experienced in worship, what we're going to be experiencing more of and pursuing more of, and kind of set the stage. So when there's questions, when you have thoughts, that you understand that like we are truly seeking and pursuing God's presence and looking for people that are encountering his glory and being transformed into his likeness. Are you guys tracking with me? Some of you may not know. I don't really talk about it much right now. I don't always feel the need to sort of like talk about my background. I've been here for, you know, almost 2 years, guys. Oh, man, it's close. We're a couple months away, but we're, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is quite a big deal. But yeah, so some of you guys may not know, like as a youth pastor, a generational pastor, I've done a lot of different things, but I was also a worship pastor for several years. I grew up leading worship and being involved in worship teams. Both my wife and I write songs and music. We have an old 4-song EP if you really want to, if you feel bold enough. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. You can actually go there. It's kind of an old school, like, indie rock, you know, sort of influence a little bit. It's from several years ago. So it'll be fun. Go give it a whirl. And then do not text me and tell me what you think, okay? I'm not interested. But worship has always been a part. Like, my family's super musical. My mom, when she was young, when she was an old teenager in her early 20s, her and her sister had three albums, actually, in the 70s. They were called the Ewart Sisters, and they would travel and sing and stuff all up and down the West Coast and do ministry and sing. And my dad as well played, like, multiple instruments, always involved in a lot of different stuff. And they sang together, and my brother's a worship leader, and My like, it just is, like, generationally, like, I've been really fortunate and blessed to kind of, that's part of my inheritance. But my personal struggle in the area of worship and creativity has been one fraught with insecurity and having to wage war over what was my inheritance that somehow the enemy fought really hard to steal. And so some of what we're going to talk about today are not just thoughts or verses I've read in the Bible, but things I've had to pay a price for, things that, like, I've really had to work through in the midst of. Do you understand? So, like, some of the statements you might hear today and be like, oh, yeah, that's good. Understand that there's history on some of what we're talking about this morning. In this current age, it breaks my heart. I read Instagram posts. This last week, I just had a conversation with a friend who's chosen to kind of walk away from his faith in the church, and just some of the accusations towards church and music and industry. You know, and I grew up in an environment where, you know, we had, you know, 3,000 people dancing on cement risers in a soccer stadium worshiping Jesus. You know, every Sunday we had to have crews of 50 to 100 people setting up a 20-foot scaffolding and hauling 100-pound speakers up with rope to the top of it every Sunday just so we could worship, just so that we could, like, sing and dance before God. And so to think that someone takes that and says it's just about a production, it's just about looking fancy, breaks my heart. Because it misses the actual priority we have as believers to corporately worship Jesus. If you look throughout Scripture, like, I believe, we're going to talk about it in a second, that all of your life is worship. You, who you are, what you're doing. We're going to set a foundation for that. But I'm going to tell you what, that message at times has been used and has devalued the corporate expression where God is commanding people to join together and to worship Him. In corporate expression, corporate songs, corporate spiritual songs, corporate dancing, just, like, going nuts, like, laying down, bowing before Him, blessing His name, like, all of those things. There is something about it when people join together as a family and corporately respond to Him because He's worthy, because of who He is. Are you guys tracking with me? And some of those things are going to, you're going to need to confront some of your comfort zones. You're going to need to confront some of your preferences, some of those things where you're kind of like, ooh, kind of rubbed the wrong way, or the music's too loud, or the drummer's going a little crazy this morning, or the worship leader's like, no, they're bowing down. What? They're on their knees. Come on, man. Like, you know, like, there's all these sorts of things that, like, there's somebody who's dancing awkwardly next to me, and now I don't know what to do with my hands, and I'm just kind of like, you know, there's all these different things that, like, you sort of end up having to get over. So understanding that, like, there's a foundation that's actually undergirding our corporate expression of worship is really important. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. God's not interested in our comfort zones, but He is interested in being our comforter. So are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, Genesis chapter 1. Let's start at the beginning of the book. It's probably a good idea, right? 1, verse 26 and 27. Now I could quote this to you. I'm going to go ahead and just read it. But it says this thing, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created male and female, He created them. All right. So number one, what is the first thing we see about humanity? That's right. We are created in His image. Yeah? We're all in agreement?
Yes.
Pretty epic, yes? Okay, so mine is on the previous page. We can flip back. Genesis 1:1, first three words of the Bible. Or seven. Whoa. Got to pay attention to the edge of the stage. Listen, I will become even more undignified than this, guys. This is nothing, all right? All right. In the beginning, God... Oh. In the beginning, God created. What's the first thing we see about God? He's creative. If we're created in his image, what should you understand is the first thing about us as humans? We're creative. Every single one of you is creative. Every person is creative. I understand that a lot of people have grown up with the misconception that there's creative types and non-creative types, but I'm gonna tell you what, that is a lie rooted in Satan's attempt to rob you of your destiny and a portion of your identity. You're creative. You wanna tell me someone who is managing a business is not creative? Creative solutions and working through things and trying to like find solutions to problems. Engineering, that's not creative. Oh, it's extremely creative, actually. Do you know what I'm saying? Like school administration, anybody been like working in a school office? You need creativity? My goodness. The thing is that like you may not have developed the skill set of painting a picture or playing an instrument, but to think that like that is the pinnacle of creativity is to miss a portion of your identity as being created in God's image. Are you tracking with me? Now, this is important because when we begin to make statements that worship is more than just music, worship is more than just what we do on Sunday morning, we're kind of like, well, then how does that work? How does that make sense? Well, it's in the fact that when we begin to step into this portion of our identity, we begin to reflect the image of God around us. Every time you step into creativity, you're reflecting God's image. Do you understand that? Every time. You can actually, in simple tasks, all of a sudden now they become an expression of God's nature and heart in little mundane things that you're doing. You want to tell me it's like, I mean, I'm incredibly creative on how I load that dishwasher. Saying? I get every dish in there. Every dish. I go to pack the van. When we moved across country, right? Want to tell me there was no creativity involved in making sure that that van had every minute space full of something? We had to drive 3,000 miles. We're gonna make the most of this. You know what I'm saying? There ain't nothing left behind. I mean, it's silly, but this is all of a sudden where sweeping the house, sweeping the floor becomes this mundane task that you can just kind of go through and forget. But in this place, you can engage this attitude in your heart that's like, wow, God, I get to do this in a form, in a fashion that reflects your image. And all of a sudden now a mundane task becomes something that reflects God's image around me and brings him glory. Why? Because when you step into your identity, you as a creation is bringing glory back to the creator. You hear what I'm saying? When you're walking in your identity, when you're walking in who you were created to be, it brings glory back to the one who created you. Art brings recognition to the artist. Creativity brings glory and recognition to the creator. Are you tracking with me? For the sake of time, I'm going to move on, but I have like some crazy fun stories of like random jobs I've had where you're just like about to lose your mind. And all of a sudden, you switch your attitude and you recognize, hey, wow, this floor scrubber that I have to just walk for 8 hours. Behind for 8 hours. Just down the hallway and then back. And then down the hallway and then back. And all of a sudden, this thing that you could just lose your mind doing, all of a sudden now becomes, in this thing, I get to express part of who God is, part of his nature in this simple task of what I have in front of me. And in that place, it becomes a sweet offering to God. It becomes an offering, a sacrifice of praise where I'm offering this to God. And it becomes this attitude of worship where it begins to reflect God's heart and nature in this little thing that I'm doing. Are you guys tracking with me? So it's important to capture this. Creativity reflects right? And points to the creator. Artistry reflects the artist. So let's kind of talk about this, the creativity and performance. How many of you guys have, like, been in church long enough to have someone preach about performance and how you don't want to have the spirit of performance and you go to play a song or something, like, make sure that it's not the spirit of performance, it's the spirit of worship. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, a lot of us come from an environment or a culture where that actually got miscommunicated and missed the heart of God, and a desire to have pure worship, the teaching got twisted into scaring people into this place of actually not engaging in excellence. So I'll just describe it this way. I've used this illustration before, but think about, okay, you have the Mona Lisa, right? Millions of people have viewed this painting, right? Leonardo da Vinci paints this painting, and it's this half smile, maybe frown, maybe contemplative face. No one really knows, right? And millions of people have viewed this painting. Could you imagine if the Mona Lisa could talk, right? Mona Lisa's hanging out, and people, as they're walking by, she's like, oh, don't say too many nice things. Actually, you know what? I'm going to need to, like, is some mud over there? Here, give me some mud. I got to dim these colors down a little bit. Just think, oh, can't be looking too nice here. Don't want to take any glory from Leonardo. I can't look too nice. I can't be too nice of a painting. Otherwise, it would be stealing glory from Leonardo da Vinci, who painted me. The more beautiful the Mona Lisa is, the more glory Leonardo da Vinci receives. Do you guys understand that? The more excellent this painting is, the more recognition goes back to its painter. Are you tracking with me? I mean, like, we can keep going down the shore, but I want you to capture this idea that it's not in dumbing down or being less excellent that helps the creator receive glory. It's in your attitude and your connection to your creator. Do you understand? Like, the Mona Lisa, the more beautiful that painting is, the more excellent that painting is, the more recognition its painter receives. The more excellent you live life, the more excellently you approach the things in your life, the more glory and recognition the creator receives through your life. Think about it this way. Like, sometimes in the context of this message, it's almost as if we've taught that God is really insecure. That he's created people that have gifts and talents and told them to, like, go out and be excellent and go for it. But don't be too excellent, otherwise you might be getting glory that I'm supposed to have. And could you imagine a dad, right? Like, we all know fathers that are kind of like this, right? Their son's doing sports somewhere, and the son's, like, starting to win. He just gets a touchdown, maybe playing football or something, and the dad's like, I taught him that! That's me! Oh, I taught him everything he knows! And it's like this, like, sometimes it's in a good way, but sometimes you're kind of like, chill out, dude, your son's out there, like, no one's out here to watch you, you're out here to watch your son. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? It's almost as if the father is, like, struggling with the fact that his son has more recognition. Like, no. A good father, what does a good father do? To freaking tear it up. That's right. You just did that. Cheers them on. There's this sense of actually, like, in his security, he's able to father and have the son, right? Like, or the daughter, whoever it is, like, explode and do the best that they can. Understanding that the recognition that is on their child, it doesn't diminish what's on their life. It actually enhances it. Do you understand? Like, God, like, the more excellently you live life, the more glory God receives through your life. It's not about the fact that, like, you're stealing glory from God. It's the fact that you've applied yourself in an excellent way to a task that actually brings glory back to God through your life. I have to keep going because this is a bit of a sacred cow in churches, because I'm threading this line where people are like, well, are you saying that we're supposed to get God's glory? No, not at all. Don't interject bad theology into what I'm saying this morning. Think about it this way, right? I'm playing guitar, right, maybe on a Sunday morning or something, and worship's going crazy, and like, it's awesome. And Adam turns around and is like, tear it up, Dustin, go for it. Like, oh, we're just like, oh, we're going crazy. Like, everyone's like cheering. So like, God's glory's here, right? And I'm like, wah, finger tapping Eddie Van Halen style. Blah, 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 just like, just shredding away. I'm like, look at me, I'm the best guitarist in the world. Ah, right? No, I'm not doing that, but let's just imagine with me, okay? Follow along. I can't play that style anyways, but that's why it's funny. Maybe all of a sudden, like as I'm playing guitar, my hair starts growing. And there's this fan that like kicks on right on my feet and like as it's shimmering and my shirt kind of like I have like a tank top on and my shirt kind of buttons and flapping in the wind as I'm like, okay, you get it. Even if I was fully engaged in that, do you think I could ever possibly take any glory from God? Do you understand that even in the most self-centered, performance-based attitude I could have, in the heart expression, I'm still bringing glory back to God because He created me, He gave me the talents, He gave me what I have and what I've stewarded in my life. Are you tracking with me? The reason why I'm saying this is because it sets us free from having to be concerned about the people around us and what spirit they're worshiping God out of. Now, am I missing out on something? Absolutely. Do you know what I'm saying? Is God going to look at me and be like, hey, bud, your heart? Oof, it's kind of in the wrong spot there. It's going to need to be corrected and rebuked and... You know what I'm saying? Like, you get, like, I'm not saying that that's how I should be playing guitar. I'm not giving permission to that. What I am saying is that we've somehow made God, like, small, like, He's not able to manage or deal with someone who's behaving that way. Yeah. Or that it's up to us that we have to sort of, like, put the checks on all of the people. The reason why I'm saying this is think about this. How many times have you been in worship and somebody is, like, dancing crazy next to you? Or, like, they're on in the front and they're like, man, that person's just up there dancing like that to look super spiritual. That person is raising their hands because they want to look like they're really loving Jesus right now. They're not really loving Jesus. They just want people's attention. A person with flags, maybe you don't come from a church culture that like had people with flags in it. And it feels really strange and weird and awkward and sort of like, why do people do this? It doesn't make any sense. It's showy. It feels like... They're trying to be like up in front, like, look at me, I'm so spiritual, I'm waving flags around. The reason why I have to address this is because it's actually robbing you from this moment for you to step in and meet God. To actually, people's creative, passionate expressions is between them and God. Whether someone is flagging and there's some sort of mixture of getting some attention from people and some attention from God, that's their journey before God. But in the end, as their passionate, creative expression before Jesus, it's worship as an expression of what God has done in and through their life. And in that place, you can see that and see a creative expression and your heart turns back to the Creator. Why? Because He created them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why this is important is because in our house, in this church, we've created space for freedom. And because we're coming from different church backgrounds, different ideas, there's going to be things at times that might feel a little strange or weird or expressive or unnecessary or over the top or sort of, I don't know, I don't get that, I don't understand why that person's doing this. And I want you to know, we are okay with you feeling uncomfortable. I am okay with you feeling uncomfortable. But I want to invite you into this place where God gets to be your comforter and you get to step into a new and fresh encounter with Him. Where there's freedom for you to dance like David danced. Where you get to be the woman with the alabaster jar who flings herself at the feet of Jesus, breaks a jar while everyone else is like not engaged in the moment. Like the disciples, the people around the table, they're just sitting there like, what is this woman doing? this is so awkward. Oh my gosh, like what? And she's like crying. She's anointing his feet. She takes her hair and starts drying and washing his feet with her hair. And everyone's sitting there like, this is really strange. Don't you know that's a lot of money? That's like a year's salary. Like, oh my gosh, like we could have sold that and used it for something. And right? We want to have space where people can come in and actually meet God and meet Jesus in these ways. And there's a long track record throughout Scripture of those sort of moments. And we have to be careful that when we're on the outside or it's not the place quite that we're in a particular moment, that we don't stand in this judgment seat in those moments. And do you understand that creative, passionate expressions is actually part of how God created us and made us? Otherwise, you'd have ushers at football games yelling at people to not stand up and yell too much because that's just sort of obnoxious. Come on, you understand we're all here to watch a game. You're getting too much recognition from the team that's on the field. Can you please sit down? Sir, don't paint your belly and take your shirt off. This is inappropriate in a sports stadium. Don't yell plays from the sideline. You're not the coach. There's this thing that like passionate, crazy, expressive moments is actually part of who we are created. Like it's part of our nature. And it's okay that yes, there are moments where maybe someone has stepped into a place. Like I've like in my own times of worship, there's been times where I've been thinking about what people would think about me. Absolutely. And I missed out on a moment. But do you think God was like super like nervous about what was happening? Do you think that God was like concerned, like, oh man, Dustin got more glory than I got this morning. What am I going to do with him? No, he was like, come here, son. I need you a little closer to my heart. You're thinking about people too much than you're thinking about my opinions of you. You've allowed other people's opinions to override your thought process and your perspectives. Let me tell you what I think about you. You're amazing. I love you. I love your worship. I love your passion. I love you pursuing me. I love the fact that you're a sweaty mess. I love the fact that you stink and you don't care. Do you understand? Like actually like those moments where you step past those things. That is the difference. Are you guys okay? Awesome. Creativity reflects the Creator. Revelation chapter 4, we don't have time to read through it, but I just want to just touch on this a little bit. In Revelation chapter 4, there's just this the passage where John like goes into heaven, right? He's called up in heaven, and then it kind of describes what's happening around the throne room, right? And it's like there's elders around, there's this giant throne, God's on it, sitting, there's one who sits on the throne, and he's like jasper, and there's a rainbow that looks like emeralds, and there's like, and then it says like from the throne, there's lightnings and thunders and voices, and then there's these four living creatures with eyes like all over around their wings, around the back, like flying around screaming, holy, 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 and okay. Just understand, no amount of screens, lasers, fog machines, instruments will ever compare to what is happening around the throne room right now. You understand what I'm saying? I get there's things that can be obnoxious or like performance or just feels weird in production-y. I'm actually in that camp. There are like, give me a dirt floor, a couple out of tune guitars and a room full of people that are just like singing their guts out. I would take that over everything else that we have. Do you understand? Like that is my heart. Like that's actually what I prefer. Like as who I am, but to sit in a place where we say, having some lights on stage is distracting from God's presence. No, it's distracting you from God's presence because you have not been captivated by God's glory enough. If someone's guitar is distracting you from God's presence, it's because you're not captivated by his presence more than that guitar. I'm not moving off this line. Do you understand? Because God is worthy of our whole heart, our whole attitude. And yes, you know what? There are times when lights are obnoxious, okay? I've been at like a worship event or in a conference and the lights are just like, I'm like, my gosh, like, It doesn't mean the lights are evil. What it means is someone did them less excellently. Do you understand? It means that somebody just, the bar, they didn't hit an excellent bar with it. It doesn't mean that they're by themselves evil and they shouldn't be part of worship. Right? That worship leader was singing out of tune. It was so distracting. We shouldn't have singers. No, it just means that person needs to learn how to sing a little better. It's a little less distracting, and the focus can be more on God. Right? You tracking with what I'm saying? All right. That's all I got to say about that. We got to move on. Oh, man. You guys okay? Is this a little too intense? Man, I got like riled up from worship this morning. I'm sorry. So I was a little more like lovey-dovey, I think, in the first service. Man. All right. Well, we're just about done. I have a whole section of more stuff. I just want to hit on a couple thoughts. Is that okay? God really does care about passion and passionate expression. And he's not concerned about whether you feel like it or not. Like, this is not me manipulating or guilting you into being more exuberant, but this is for you to understand that God, we worship God because of who he is, not because of how we feel. We lift our hands in worship, we dance, we do all these things because he's worthy of it, because of who he is, not because we feel like it or we just feel inclined to do it right then in that moment. God, there's like multiple passages throughout scripture where a person's encounter with God and the breakthrough that was created in that moment was directly linked to their passionate expression and engagement in that moment. Can I just hit, I'm just going to hit a couple with you guys. We're not going to spend time on it. Revelation 3:16, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That sucks. Just straight up. That's terrible. I don't ever want to be like treated that way from God because I couldn't just passionately engage. He stayed in the land of indecision. 2 Kings 13, verse 14 through 19, it's the story of King Joash. He goes to Elisha's deathbed. Elisha's about to die, and he says, give me one more word, please, before you die, prophet. And Elisha says, take that arrow, shoot it out the window. Take that bundle of arrows, hit the ground. And it says, King Joash grabbed the arrows, struck the ground three times, and then stopped. And it's interesting, it specifically says, and then stopped. So there's like this thing. And Elisha's response was, oh, man, that you had struck the ground and not stopped. You had have fully had victory and conquered your enemies. But because you only did it three times, you're only going to have three victories, and then you'll be overcome. The breakthrough of a nation was dependent on a king's passionate engagement in what God was saying. Irrelevant was his own desire of his own feelings, of his own comfort zone, of his own deal. It was directly linked to passionately obeying what God was saying in that moment. Fully engaged. Right? I love it. The woman with the issue of blood, she just like pushed through the crowd, just like, rah! And he's like, oh my gosh, there's faith. The power of God just left me. Someone like reached out passionately and grabbed hold of the tassels. A Samaritan woman with the story of the breadcrumbs and the dogs. I love this. Like, she's coming in for healing, and he's like, am I supposed to give the bread intended for the children to dogs? I mean, in essence, he just called her a dog. And her response, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table. She's just like, I will not be offended. I'm here to pursue you. I'm here for you. You can't dissuade me from my encounter with you. There's nothing in this room that can offend me enough to not go after you, God. There's no statement, there's no style of clothing, there's no style of music, there's no volume, too much, too little, too many lights, too many whatever that will keep me from meeting my Savior who has everything I need. Do you understand? There's something that has to rise up in our heart that says, I am not going to be distracted by all of the stuff going on around me, that my eyes are on you, Jesus. There's this moment, this is like, we all have like little things that come up where someone's like, have things that are in our past, you know, where someone says like, hey, you're being a little too expressive, or you're being too loud, or you're doing this. And there's these things that we have to overcome and deal with it. But I love it. It's like what Tim was sharing this morning, man, where Saul's daughter is like, don't you understand? Like, you're a king. This is not very kingly behavior. And David's like, I'm about to get more undignified. And it's not about being undignified. It's not about being weird. You understand, like, being undignified is not synonymous with God's presence. Weirdness does not mean more anointing. Do you understand? More weird does not mean more anointing. More weird just means more weird. That's it. That's all it means. Weird is just weird. That's it. Your response to what God is doing in a moment is what matters. Your response to the Holy Spirit's prompting and leading in your heart is what matters. Do you understand? Are you guys tracking with me? Okay, good. All right, part two. We'll talk about it on another Sunday. We don't have time. This was too good. Worship was too good this morning. Part two, man, we look at like Hebrew words of praise. Next time I'm up here, I'll continue. Can we do that? You guys okay? Because I'm going to tell you what. For me personally, the way that this wraps together is understanding that like throughout Psalms, when we begin to look at the Hebrew words for praise, they're written with actual verb tenses and language that connect them to breakthrough and your response, like how to respond to God in a moment, and it's connected to breakthrough. And it's so profound when you begin to realize that God has actually given us like the keys for breakthrough in different circumstances, and they're not dependent on how you feel in a moment. It's like it's not connected. It's like whether you feel like giving thanks right now or not, give thanks. There's even one of the words that indicates that like you should be giving thanks preemptively before you see the breakthrough is the actual way the word is like carries its meaning in verses. Like a sacrifice of praise, that's what that is. This costs me something. Why? Because I haven't seen it yet. And yet, God, I say thank you because you're a provider. Me and my wife sitting at like the dinner table, there's no food in our pantries, we have no food to pack our kids' lunches the next day, and we're like, this does not determine who God is. You are our provider. Thank you for providing for all of our needs. We wake up the next morning, there's a box of groceries on our front door. Do you understand? Like that is what we're talking about. There is like this thing that says, I praise God, I worship him, I thank him because of who he is. Not my circumstances, not how I feel, but because he's worthy of it. And I respond to that. And my worship is dictated by who he is, not my circumstances. My worship is dictated because of who he is, not because of how I feel in a moment or because of the environment that I'm in or the mood lighting or the right sound or the right style of music or the right whatevers. It's based on him. Are you guys tracking with me? I want you guys to stand with me.